Welcome. We're glad you're here. I know we have some guests here today, and we're always honored when people come and visit with us, and we welcome you. It's Paramount Church this morning, our worship service. Thank you, musicians, group, who lead us every week, who give their time to prepare every week to come in and lead us in song as we worship the Lord together in song and the preaching of His Word and the encouraging of one another. Hope that you had a great Thanksgiving, that you have slowed down on your eating. If not, just confess and keep right on going. It was good to be with friends and family, and so we're grateful for time to slow down in this busy pace of this world and just have some time to be together and to be thankful. Hopefully you spend some time really being thankful for the things that God has done for us. We are in John chapter 12, verse 27 through 34. And as you make your way there, the message this morning is called Glory in Dark Pathways. Read the scriptures. It says, "Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death which he was to die. We'll stop there and let me pray for us one more time. Father, we come to you and thank you again that you will come, that you will meet with us by your Spirit, by the preaching of your word. And we trust that by the power of your word that you will come and that you will correct us, you will change us, you will encourage us, you will strengthen us, and that in all of it that you will change us and make us more like Christ. Give us hearts who hunger for that. Help us to take these things and the things that we will hear today, and we will make decisions today on how we will respond, and I pray that it will be yes to you and all that you would have us to do. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right. There is this word that keeps coming up. If we go back to verse 20, it says, "Now there were some Greeks that were among those who were going up to worship at the feast." Now, it just keeps ringing through this passage of Scripture. It's the beginning of this hour that Christ is talking about that He is coming to. This is an hour that we'll look at a little bit here, but this is His coming. He has been making this walk from eternity, all eternity past. It's been pointing to this hour that He is talking about. It's like, I don't know, you know what a grandfather clock is? Good. I thought because I was old, maybe you might not know what a grandfather clock is. So I have to be careful with my illustrations to make sure you young people understand. Grandfather clock, what does it do? It rings out the hour. If you ever lived in a house that has a grandfather clock, and in the middle of the night you might happen to wake up and you hear it strike, and then you start counting, and then you wonder, did I miss one? Did I miss two? What time is it? But it's just ringing on the hour, and it dongs. It makes this sound, and it hammers out the hour. And it's kind of like what this word is here, this now. He says, "Now, my soul has become troubled." This is Jesus, God in the flesh. Is your soul troubled this morning? I thought about many of you this week as over the last several weeks, and just in preparing, in knowing what's going on, the great joy that we have and the privilege we have, but still a small congregation, we know what's going on in others' life, and we hope that we maintain that as we grow as a church. We feel like that is what we are called to do. We do one another. We do things together, one another, and we encourage one another when our souls are troubled. Is your soul troubled this morning? I thought about talking about specific situations that causes your soul to be troubled. I could go from family to family to family to family to individual and going, is your soul troubled this morning? If it is not troubled this morning, there it will be. So whether your soul is troubled this morning or whether it will be, I hope that you will hear these things and see this is Christ and this is how He dealt with a troubled soul. And when you use this word trouble here, it's a strong word in the Greek. It is one that is giving the definition of strong inner turmoil. Things that you go through, things will come into our lives that are very, very strong and unsettling to us and uncomfortable. And the extremes that may come to us, just situations, whatever the announcement may be, you can think of or that you have walked through. And going, this is very strong. This is what's going on in Christ's life. This is to the point of revulsion. This is intense. Horror is another word that is used to describe anxiety and agitation. Christ in the crowd speaks out, "My soul has become troubled." What's troubling his soul? It's actually, as he speaks out, it's actually a prayer. It's a very brief prayer that Christ is praying out to the Father. As you can see, the Father speaks. But he just utters this brief prayer and he comes and he says, "My soul is troubled." What is troubling his soul? What's troubling Christ's soul? What is this hour that we're talking about? What is this cup of wrath that, as we looked at in ABF last week, what's in this cup of wrath that God is going to pour out? What is in this hour? What is in this cross that we just sang about? Unbelievable song. Unbelievable words that freely just kind of flow out of our mouths and go, have tremendous meaning to what we're saying here. The cross, the darkness that's stated in that. What is this hour? What is it? What is this wrath of God? For those who were in ABF last week, we talked about it. Good. We'll hear it again this week, and it's good to be reminded. That's basically what we do in the preaching of the Word. Sometimes it's a first-time hearing. Sometimes it's you being reminded again and stirred up to remember. But this wrath, this cross that we talk about, this crucifixion that we sang so pretty this morning, Christ took a beating, an unbelievable beating with whips that had pieces on the end of them. Have you seen the Passion? There's a scene in there where he is taking this beating. I'm not even sure it truly depicts all that is happening. But I can remember watching it one time and saying, just stop. Stop it. This is unbelievable. The ripping of his flesh. The beating that he endured. And then this cross and then this suffering that he took. And if that wasn't enough, then they nailed him to a tree. Can't imagine. Willingly lay down, stretch yourself out, and have somebody drive spikes in your hands and in your feet. And lift you up and drop you in a hole and let you hang there until you want to die. Until you die. I can't imagine. This hour. And if that isn't enough, then there's this cup of wrath. This wrath of God that is poured out on Christ, who is His Son, who has perfectly obeyed. Do you have children? You love your children? I love my children. They have not perfectly obeyed me, nor have I. Christ never did anything that was wrong. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Perfect. Sinless. God speaks here. It's one of three times that God speaks. This is my son. One of the first times. And who I'm well pleased. And he's going to take all this fury that God has towards sin, towards our sin, he's going to pour it out on Christ. And he is going to hold absolutely nothing back. In this fury, in this hatred for sin, it is our rebellion against the holy God and his standard that is here and going, it has to be dealt with. If not, it has to be paid. And Christ is there taking our places. God pours out his wrath on him. He empties this cup. There's not a drop left, and Christ drinks every single drop to the fullest. God, just in this onslaught of intense pouring out and going, this is the payment that has to be made. We talked about propitiation last time in ABF and what that means and going, Christ exhausted it. Every bit of it. Complete. He paid the price for all of it. My soul is troubled. We know in Gethsemane, he goes, and as this hour moves closer to right before he is going to start this physical abuse by his own creation that he created, submitted himself to their hands. In Gethsemane, he prays as if it were great drops of blood. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says this. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from his death. And he was heard because of his piety. As in the study, it is good, and this was a great reminder for me, that as you look at this and all that is going on, and Christ is offering this prayer to the Father amongst this crowd of people. He says, now my soul is troubled. One commentator put it this way. He said, we should not think of Jesus' emotions here as a sense of dread that suddenly comes over him, but rather as the realization in the progress of his suffering, the darkness of the path on which he is led by God. This is why he came. Why? For the cross. Why the cross? Why the pouring out of the wrath? Why? For our salvation. So that we could be redeemed. That many could be redeemed. That many will come to Christ. That this payment has been made. He absolutely destroys any thought of the possibility of any type of work salvation. That would so diminish the cross and what Christ accomplished. It is unbelievable. No, he took it all. He endured it all. He drank in the cup. He destroyed the cup so that we could be saved. And we think of that and you look at that and you think, oh yeah, that was for the sins of all. That's what that was. And that's why it was so bad. No. Let's make this personal. That was because of my sin. That was because of your sin. And without it, wrath is to come. Christ took our place. We sing these things. And go, he took our place. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. Unbelievably. Because that's what we would have to endure to satisfy God. So that we could come and be his children. That we could be made holy. That he looks at us as righteous. You're righteous because of the work that Christ has accomplished, that he took to make the payment for us. What does Jesus do with his troubled soul? It says right there in verse 27 to 28, it says, now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? ? You ever question when you're in trouble? Your soul gets troubled. The news that you get. What are you doing, Lord? You ever ask questions? When your soul is troubled, Christ gives us great examples right here, and he says, he prays, he tells God, he says, my soul is troubled. He asks a question about this situation that he's walking through. He said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Then he answers his own question. Man, this is a great example for us. He says, but for this purpose I came to this hour. That's what you called me to. For this path, you will not walk a path that is not designed by God. There's nothing that comes to you that does not come through God's hand. Job walked a pretty dark path. All because God said, yes, you can go do what you need to do, Satan. But you can't touch his life. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Christ comes and he says, for this purpose I came to this hour, for this path. Am I supposed to ask you now to take it away? But all of this is coming in on him, and he is not is such in a dread statement, but that is the realization of the progress of his suffering that is coming, that is about to come on him. What is the purpose of your life? He finishes out and he says, Father, glorify your name. It seems so simple to say, doesn't it? We always say, what's your purpose? What should we be doing? We are to glorify God. Whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever we do, little simple things in life, what is it? Glorify God. What happens when it gets difficult? What happens when you throw sin into the mix? Throw sin into the mix, and glorifying God in that sin seems like such a chasm. It's like, there's no way. There's no way. Yet Christ, all in his prayer, he prays. He goes to God and he prays. And he goes, man, my soul is troubled. And in this, going, what, this hour that is coming, I'm well aware, I've been knowing, this is what all eternity has been pointing to, so that I will come to this hour to accomplish this work. What, should I ask you to take that away? Should we recognize the things that come into our lives and say, hey, this has come through the hand of God? Yeah. Yeah. And in that, how am I going to glorify him? How? In difficult situations, whether death, whether cancer, whatever, just throw your situation in there that is trouble. Throw a sinful situation in there. Really difficult. Extremely difficult. Father, glorify your name. Here is my life. Take it and use it and glorify your name. Is your soul troubled? This is a great help for a troubled soul. It would be great for us, and it seems simple. It seems very just boom, boom, boom. But that's not what we tend to do, do we? Not just that initial response. Just doesn't seem to happen that way. Notice here that God always hears our prayers. God always answers our prayers. You believe that? There's times where God seems silent, doesn't it? We pray, don't seem to get an answer. God's continuing to do a work. Whether he speaks audibly, which he will not probably do. And even when he spoke audibly, most of them didn't understand what he said. They all stood around going, that just thundered. No. That was an angel that spoke to him. There was some there that heard. A lot of discussion on that. Some believe it was mainly for his disciples. Christ was also concerned for his disciples. How would they make it with what was coming? And he even says, this was not for me. This is for you. Some heard. God's authentication of Christ every time he speaks. What's the goal in our, in God's goal in our pathways? Verse 28 through 31, he says, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood, it said it thundered. Some said he spoke as an angel. This voice has not come for me, but for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I am I, and lifted up from this earth, will draw all men to myself. God clearly states here, he goes, I have glorified it. In the life of Christ, I have glorified it. Go back and remember the first 11 chapters that we have preached on and all the miracles that Christ has done. He has been saying, I am glorifying. I and the Father are one. It's the very things where they picked up stones that they've sought to kill him, and they eventually will kill him for the claims that he made. And Christ all the time pointing, going, if you see me, if you know me, you know the Father. I'm here and I'm representing the Father. And I'm glorifying his name. And God even comes back and says, yes, I have glorified my name. And even in this hour, I will glorify my name. I will glorify it again. The answer for the troubled soul wasn't that he would take the dark pathway away, but that through God's path, he will accomplish and glorify his name. Isaiah 55. Verses 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God. He will be abundantly pardoned. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and heat and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God will glorify his name. We can be obedient and we can seek to be a part of that, or he will pick another way. He will work it out. He will glorify his name. And he says so as he responds to Christ's prayer. Are your prayers like that? Is that the way we pray? In our troubles, in our great needs, we ask for a lot, don't we? I ask that God will change this situation. He's not changing it. You ask that God will say, hey, when this comes into my life, will you take this away? Or will I look at this and say, how will I glorify your name in this? How will I take this and embrace it? In such a way that I see it as coming through your hand, and that you're going to use this in my life to change me, to make me more like Christ. And maybe use me in the life of others so that I can bring glory and honor to your name. My prayers aren't always that way. Most of the time they're not that way. I like change. I like for him to change it. I like things to go smoothly. I don't like trouble. I don't want to suffer. People are suffering. People lose jobs. Just this past week, here in our congregation, what are you doing? What are you doing? Or do we look at those things and we run back and we go to God and we say, this has come to me. How can I glorify your name in all of this? Christ teaches us, he says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Glorified is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Familiar prayer. Pray like this. Christ says, glorify your name. Take those things that God comes and brings into our lives so that while he is doing a work, whether we figure it out, whether we make sense of it, whether it changes, whether it continues down a sinful path and it doesn't change, God's still doing a work. We trust and know he is good, he is wise, he is sovereign, he is in control, even when I can't see it. And it doesn't make sense to me. And if you left it up to me, I would change it and do it another way. I would. I would fix it. Because it hurts. That's what suffering is. You see this suffering and the great glory that is brought to God. What he does in our life. How will God glorify his name? How's he going to do this? He says, go ahead. You pray this prayer. I hear you. I come back. I respond to you. And this voice comes out of heaven and speaks. And again, this ringing, this now, this clock is striking another hour and say, now, judgment is coming. How's he going to glorify his name in judgment? The cross will bring judgment. This event, the cross, planted, boom, here in history. What does our year stand for? Where did that start? We're getting ready to go into 2016. Where did it begin? Where was one? Great witnessing opportunity coming. Oh, you're celebrating 2016. Where did we start counting from? Oh, the cross of Jesus. You know about the cross of Jesus? Judgment will fall because of Christ. And the cross has happened. You will be judged. Wrath will be poured out. Or we can be forgiven. You can embrace. You can take Christ and say, yes. Yes. I see. I am a sinner. I have no hope apart from the cross. And being able to explain. Say, I don't have to share the gospel. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the cross. You understand. You know the wrath that was poured out. The payment that was made. Hey, we're a sinner. We've been separated from a holy God. And Christ has already taken this payment in full. Explain to them. So that they'll know and see and go and look at what Christ has done for you. For you. For me. As far as I'm concerned, for all those that I come in contact with. Come here. Come, taste, see, it's free. Come, take it, take it. You want this. If you have any inkling, keep pursuing it. If you have any desire whatsoever, come. Come, drink. Drink, please, drink. Drink this water so that you will live. Oh, you don't want to stand before God having rejected this. Romans 2, chapter 3, through, or excuse me, Romans chapter 2, 3 through 5. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and his tolerance and his patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds? Revelations 20:11 is another one. I'm not going to take the time to read it. Well, yeah, we are. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence the earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, and the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. When's the last time you heard a message on that? That ought to grip our hearts. And not so that I'll take that to them and say, you know you're going to hell? That's not so much the purpose of me. Yes, God's wrath lies. Yes, hell is their end. It ought to move us to sharing the gospel of what it ought to do. It should break our hearts. And we should see people who, without Christ, we know they're in. Whether they get it or not, whether they want to believe it or not, whether they want to tell you you are a fool, whatever their response may be, our hearts should be crushed and broken. It should motivate us, the love that we have for God and what He has done for us in this hour that He's done for others. And we should go and take this gospel and tell them about Jesus and this unbelievable love story. You can share the gospel. Trust me. Just talk about Jesus. That's the point. That's the stake. That's the cross in the ground. And it brings judgment. Judgment was poured out and it was satisfied and we can be saved, or you will still face judgment because you rejected that. God will glorify His name. What will you do with Jesus? Just ask Him, what will you do with Jesus? You got to do something with Jesus. All history points to it. It happened. He's alive. Nobody's ever found his body. Going, you want a reality show? Go find it. You can't find it. If they could, they would. They dig up all kinds of stuff. All the time. It's not there. That's our hope. He's alive. He's coming back. And He's going to get those who are redeemed. And we will go and we will glorify the Father for all that has been done. And we want as many to come with us as we can possibly take. Tell them about Jesus. Ask them about Jesus. What do you know about Jesus? They probably don't know much of anything. This day and age, the generations are coming along. They're not raised in church. They don't go to church. Maybe a cuss word. You never know. But you want to start, and end the conversation? Just bring up Jesus. Just go ahead. It'll make you uncomfortable and it'll make them uncomfortable. Because you know what? It's on. You gotta deal with this. I will glorify my name. Judgment for the world is how. Now, again, it rings again. The ruler of this world will be cast out. Satan will be defeated. Destruction. He is defeated. Rush used a term once before, and it's a good term. The devil is God's devil. It doesn't do anything God doesn't allow to happen. God's in full control. He's in full control or He's not. He can be partially in control. He is in full control. He's sovereign or he's not. He is defeated. He does rule this air and this power that we know right now. And he's having his way. And he thought when he was doing this that he was going to win. He thought when they crucified Christ on the cross that he was going to win. And it was his very undoing. Totally reversed. And he is a defeated individual. He is not going to win. He is destruction awaits him. And in verse, I'm not going there, but Revelation 20, you can read it. He will be cast into the lake of fire forever. And we will be in heaven. And I can't imagine, no more sin. No more sorrow. No more devil. No more temptation. Perfectness. Holiness. Love. We got into a discussion this past week. It's kind of dawned on someone that she won't be married in heaven. Really? Like you won't know? Honest. Well, not in that way. No. Won't be him marrying in heaven. Marriage is for the gospel. For here. For now. You choose marriage because you can better demonstrate the gospel to a lost and dying world. Or I choose singleness because I think God has called me to singleness and he will use me to make much of his name. That I'll be used in a way that I can glorify his name. Or no, I will be married and God will use us as we dramatize the gospel to a lost and dying world. So that when we sin against one another, we forgive one another. We forgive as Christ has forgiven us. It's why the meeting this morning is so crucial. It destroys the gospel. It destroys the name of God. His name, his reputation of who he is. This is contrary. You can't do this. You can do it. You can't do this. You make a statement and then you catch yourself going, yeah, you can pursue this and you can follow through with it. You can't do this. You can't do this. Because that's not who we are. That's not who we are representing. That's not glorifying to God. The devil, God will glorify himself in through judgment by the redemption of his people that he will redeem to himself. He will use it in judgment one day to bring glory to himself and rightly judge those who have rejected him. And he'll bring glory to himself in the destruction of Satan. He will also bring glory to himself in the death of his cross, of his son. If I am lifted up, Christ is talking about the way he is going to die. If I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Listen, as we wrap this up, that is for every tribe, every nation, every tongue will be represented in heaven. This cross goes out, and that's why you go back. The starting of this hour is because the Greeks came. It's another indication of going. We're moving to this direction because why? They're seeking Christ. They're outside. The cross is going to bring them in. It's us. It's us. We're Gentiles. We're outside. It's no longer just the Jews and his chosen people. He is taking and bringing salvation to all who will believe. He will glorify his name in the redeeming of people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. It's why we do missions. It's why we do missions here. It's why we go share the gospel individually here. It's why people will leave. It's why Amy will go to China. And we pray that she will return. Her father prays that she will return. He prays that she won't marry somebody over there. Why? Because they need to hear the gospel. People need to hear the gospel here in Columbus. Every tribe and every nation is represented right here. You don't have to go to the other side of the world to go preach the gospel to every tribe, every nation, every tongue, right here. Right here. Your neighbor. Have you shared the gospel with your neighbor? God will glorify Himself in this great salvation. Three takeaways this morning as we wrap all of this up. Three takeaways for God-given pathways, the ways that we walk, whether they're dark, sometimes not. Seems like maybe in the darkness it might even be easier to run to these things. It's when things are going good that we don't really cry out to God. We got it all in control. It's when He takes our control away is when we are... God unsettles us. Walk by faith? Not much. No, I've got it all together. My paycheck's coming in. Life's good. My family's rocking along. We're all good. First one is pray. Pray like this. May our heart be going, you know, this is nothing new here. But it's not normally our first go-to. Pray. Pray that God's name would be glorified and that I would do His will. Show me Your will in this. Your will in heaven, done here on earth through us, His obedient children, so that we can glorify Him and make much of Him. Preach to yourself. We talk about this. Preach to yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself. Quickly think biblically. As I may question or struggle, run to the Word. Memorize it. It's one of the greatest things we've done lately in our community group is memorizing the Word of God. And going back to it and reminding ourselves, this is who we are. This is what we're called to. I will give thanks in the congregation amongst others. I will bless the Lord in all. Really? Really? You have to remind yourself of these things when these things come to us. Because they're difficult. Remember your purpose. Be imitators of God. Here's a great verse for you to memorize and live your life by. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly beloved children and walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Share the gospel and tell others, tell someone about Jesus. Christ was lifted up so that people could be saved and redeemed. Today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, talk to somebody. Talk to Pastor Rush. Talk to me. Grab a member here. They would love to tell you about Jesus. Love to answer your questions. You have any taste, pursue it. Go for it. Like you just sat down at the spread for Thanksgiving. Go. Come. Eat. And as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, what a great reminder that we see of what Christ has done. If you're here and you're not a follower of Christ, we ask that you not partake of this. This is for followers of Christ, for the body of Christ. This is a time where we spend... examining ourselves, preparing to take this. And this preaches the gospel. We ask that you just watch it and ask God to show you more about what this means and going, what does it mean, the broken body and the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins? And this is what His body does when we come together. And so, and as we, as believers, partake of this, I pray that now you would examine yourself, that you would take this in a worthy manner. As we come to this table, let me pray for us as we begin. Father,